I have a little message I'd like to share this afternoon. It's something that's been a real, a challenge to me. I'd like to look at some scriptures in 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter and the 4th verse. It said, "Then said the king to Amasa, 'Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present.' So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, 'Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou the Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us.' And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri, or Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, 'Art thou in health, my brother?' And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the 5th rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri." I was thinking about this happening here, and pondering it. Now, this here says a sword that Joab had a sword. He had his military garment on, the sword. The Septuagint calls it a dagger. Whatever it was. I want to notice here, it doesn't really give us. It says, as in verse 8, it says, "And upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof, and as he went forth, it fell out." I don't know. I can't imagine Amasa just letting Joab come to him with a dagger in his hand or a sword. I don't know if Joab, if it was part of the ploy. He said, "Art thou in health, my brother?" That's, and then stuck a dagger in him. That's pretty deceptive. But somehow it looked like, you know, if Joab made the dagger fall out and he just, and Amasa saw it, it would just be, well, he's picking up his dagger. He's got it in his hand. When he came to greet him, he saw it fall down and picked it up. But however it was, when you think about this, I've been looking into this, there should have been some red flags for Amasa. There should have been some signs and some cautions here that Amasa, it said he took no heed to the sword or the dagger that was in Joab's hand. He didn't take the necessary precautions. But I want to notice that Joab had earlier, just the several chapters earlier, Joab had slain Abner, which was Saul's top general, top military man, Abner. Abner came down. He was wanting to deliver the kingdom to David. Joab heard about it. And so we recognize that Joab had Joab is an interesting figure. He was very, very successful military man. He conquered. He was faithful to David, but it was like he was a loose cannon. He did things. He did things despite. David did not want Abner killed. David was greatly displeased that Abner had been slain. Joab took it on himself to do that. Now, I understand Joab's feelings because Abner had slain Joab's brother, Asahel, in battle. Abner didn't want to. Abner told Asahel, he said, go chase one of the young men. But Asahel kept pursuing. He kept coming after him. He wouldn't stop. And so Abner struck him with the hinder part of his spear, I believe it said. And I can understand Joab's animosity. I can see his revenge. But he was so different than David in nature. You know, Saul chased David for years trying to take his life. And David could have slain him at ease. Different occasions, but David was careful. David sought God. David was waiting on the Lord for the Lord's. He said, I'll not touch the Lord's anointed. And David recognized that Abner was a good man. He recognized that Amasa was a good man. So Joab has this history already. Joab has slain Abner. Also, just previous to this, Absalom had rose up, and Absalom, David told his men, he said, deal gently with Absalom for my sake. And one of the men there told Joab and said, Absalom is hanging from a tree by his hair. Joab said, why didn't you slay him? And the man said, you heard the king. You heard what the king said. And you yourself would come slay me if I would have slain him. And I understand his place. You know, the kings, they had a way of finding things out sooner or later, one way or another. And so he did. So Joab took three darts while Absalom was hanging in the tree, and he slew Absalom. So Joab has this. He's got this history, and I know Amasa knew about those things. Now, Amasa, I found out, was actually a cousin to Joab. Amasa's mother and Joab's mother were sisters. And so I know there was a history there. There was some flags there. There was some cautions. There was some signs there that Amasa... It said he didn't take heed. He didn't stop and recognize what was happening. You know, he could have pulled his sword. Amasa could have pulled his sword and said, I'm fine, how are you doing? You know, and that would have stopped, that would have prevented Joab from coming close to him if he would have drawn his sword. And said, I'm doing fine. How are you doing? But he didn't do that. And he was fatally wounded. He died from that wound. The word here, heed, in looking that up, it means to hedge about, to guard, protect, attend to, circumspect, mark, look narrowly upon, to focus on. And Amasa failed to take heed to the signs, the signals that was there. And I want to say that the Lord gives us warnings. He gives us signs in our, and it's not that we seek a sign to know whether God is real or not. I don't, you know, he said, an evil, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But I know the Lord puts little things out there for us to recognize and for us to see. And it's so easy sometimes to ride over the checks, but we're in a spiritual battle today. We're not in a flesh and blood. I'm not carrying a dagger or a sword. I've got a different sword. But we're in a spiritual warfare, and there are consequences. There's wounds. There's things that happen that really shouldn't, that God doesn't really want to happen, and it's very important for us. And I feel very challenged in my heart and my life to watch and to be on guard. To watch, you know, Joab was so deceptive. The devil is deceptive today. And we are no match for his deception without God's help and God's discernment and God's blessing in our life. We're no match for his lies and his deception, the things that he speaks to us and those places that he whispers in our ear. I want to turn Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and get a few verses here. Ezekiel 37. He told Ezekiel, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel 3, and the 17th verse, he says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. And he mentions different things. He said, When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He talks about warning the wicked. He talks about warning the righteous. He talks about them giving heed or not giving heed to the warning. And I just think that God has, he's got watchmen in place in our lives. He's got the ministry, but he's also got fathers and mothers. He's got grandfathers and grandmothers. There's the body of Christ. There are things there that God has, that speaks through the body to us, that gives us, to help us to recognize the snares and the pitfalls that Satan has there for us. And it's so important for us to be able to have ears to be able to hear, and a heart to be able to receive the things that God has for us. Right. Brother Ed this morning mentioned about Balaam. I wanted to mention, I wanted to bring him up too. And it was brought out how the donkey didn't want to go, and then he slammed his foot up against the side, and finally he just fell down. Those were all signs for Balaam to recognize you're on the wrong path. You're doing the wrong thing. But why? And Balaam ended up talking to the donkey before he realized what he was doing. He said, oh, if I had a sword, I'd smite you. He was talking to the donkey, but he was blinded. And when you read that scripture, and it's kind of hard to understand a little bit, the New Testament sheds light on it. It says that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved prosperity. He loved fame. You know, remember they kept sending more and more important men, and the Lord told him at the very beginning, no, I don't want you to go. I don't want you to curse this people, for they're blessed. But he kept on. He kept on. And he kept couldn't see the signs because he was blinded by his own desires. His own lust was blinding his eyes from seeing what God, the way, the true way that God had for him. And I believe that can happen with us also if we're not careful. Our own desires can get in the way of us being able to really detect and see God's will for our life and God's working and His leading in our lives. Our flesh, our desires can get in the way. And that's why it's so important for us to come to those places like Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done. We've got to allow a submission, a consecration to God instead of forcing and pushing and doing, you know, what we want to do. It's going to get us into trouble. But the Lord can help us. He has these things that we can see. And I've had Him in my life, natural things that God has done to block my path, to help me to recognize this is not my will for you right now, or this is not the time. And we want to be able to recognize, and Lord, help us. I know sometimes the enemy fights against us, but the Lord has places too. The Lord uses things to, and He has people. He has watchmen there that we want to be able to receive good from and blessing. But we can want something so badly that we cross all the signs. And I tell you, it doesn't turn out very well when we do that. There's a consequence that comes. You know, David gave Joab the death sentence on his dying bed. And he said, Joab killed two righteous men in the day of peace. He killed two righteous men that was more righteous than he in the day of peace. It wasn't a time of war. And David ended up, he was executed at the end of his life. But these places, these consequences are real to us today. Spiritual wounds and failures when we fail to heed what God is wanting to get over to us and what He's wanting to help us with, it causes, it not only injures ourselves, but many times it injures our family and those around us. It hurts and it gives the devil places to work in us. When we fail to respond and yield to God like we should, and to seek Him like we should, it gives the devil places to work. And it gives him power. And we want to be on our guard. We want to watch and pray and ask God. Jesus, in one place, He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this message this morning, this afternoon, today, I feel like it's also a call to prayer. We need to pray. We live in dangerous times. We live in perilous times. We live in difficult times spiritually, and we need to pray and get a hold of God to be able to stand and have what the Lord wants us to have in our life. There's a verse also that talks about watching unto prayer. Watching unto prayer. You know, prayer today is not just us speaking to God. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be just us verbalizing to God and then we're done and then we get up and leave. Prayer is also receiving. It's also listening. You know, it's also being able to take in what the Spirit of God wants to say unto us. And I know we live in a busy time. Everybody's busy. We live in a busy age, people. But it's very important for us to take that time to call upon God
that he would help us to recognize the signs and the things that are in front of us, that he would give us wisdom and discernment and understanding. I noticed the scriptures that it talked about Jesus when he was coming close to the end of his ministry. It said that he walked no more openly in Jewry. Now, the scriptures all say he was going to be crucified. You know, Jesus talked about prophets dying in Jerusalem. We know it was going to be at Jerusalem. But Jesus didn't take the attitude that it's going to be in Jerusalem, I don't have to worry about it. But he took precautions. He was cautious in his movement. And it said he didn't walk openly anymore. He walked, he moved place to place in private, secretly. Not because he was afraid, but because he knew that Satan would thwart the plan of God if he had opportunity to do that. Satan would have stopped that plan any way possible that he could have. And Jesus took precautions. He was careful. He was precautionary. He was prayerful. And I believe it's important for us also to be on our guard, to watch the signs and see the things that God has in front, what he's working in our lives, to have our eyes open and we're listening and we're looking. I don't think Amasa was doing that. I think there were some signs that he could have saw that cost him his life. You know, there are things that can cost us our spiritual life. There are failures. There are wounds that we can get. I know God can heal. I know the Lord can help and restore. But there's consequences, and there's some people don't recover from some of these fatal wounds that they've received. Some people struggle for years from fatal wounds that they've received from the hand of the enemy. So I want to encourage us today to watch and pray. The Lord is faithful. The Holy Spirit, he said he would teach us things to come, that he would guide us and direct us. I believe God is faithful. I can't blame God for the mistakes that I've made in my life. I can't blame the Lord. It was me. God doesn't make mistakes that way. He is faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful. You know, there in Revelations it talked about the seven spirits of God, the different heads. God sees every dimension of every issue, of every problem. He sees the in and out. And we have a conduit through the Holy Spirit that the Lord is able to speak to us. You know, sometimes it's as little as just heeding in the intuitional warnings that God puts within our hearts. You know, sometimes you don't always know maybe exactly what the Lord is wanting or what the Lord is looking for, but there's just a little uneasiness about maybe a certain course or a certain decision. That's a time to pray. Amen. That's a time to watch and to be on our guard. The Lord puts little checks in our spirit. He causes us to just feel like something's missing, something's not quite right, and we begin to look. You know, when the Spirit of God leads, he's able to put the pieces together for us. When we are following him and looking to him for his leadings, he's able to put the pieces together that we're able to see the picture and we're able to recognize and we're able to move forward. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord leads us and it's not us, it's a sure step. It's a stronghold. It's a good place to be able to follow into and walk. But when it's just us, then we can watch. So I want to just encourage us with these thoughts. I feel really challenged in my own heart and life, because I know we live in a busy time, a busy age. But Jesus, he warned, you know, the destruction of Jerusalem. Brother Ed made comment of that too. He warned them over and over to watch. He said, when you see these signs happening, know that the end is near. And I believe the Lord wants us to watch. He wants us to keep our eyes open and our spirit open, and to be able to hear what God, I believe the Lord wants to help us in this area. I know we can get, if we get, in that one scripture he talks about, he said, take heed lest your hearts be overcharged. Overcharged. When the heart is overcharged, the spirit is lacking. When the heart is overcharged with the things of this life, the cares of life, the responsibilities of life, when the heart is overcharged, then the spirit is not able to work like it would want to work in us. It's not able, it's hindered. It's hindered. And then boom, you can see. You know, in Amasa's last thoughts, I don't know what he was thinking after Joab smote him, but I believe he probably had some regrets. I believe he probably said, maybe, I don't know, but I should have known. But I want to encourage us today to watch and pray. The Lord wants us to be a praying people, seeking him in faith, confidence, know that he's able to help us and able to strengthen us. And he's able to alarm us and alert us when danger's ahead. Thank you for your attention.